Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Wicked Curiosity Media, its affiliates, or its parent company, Angel's Hand.
Hello, welcome to the Standing 8 Count Show. We have a big show for you guys tonight. We got a really cool interview with Temri Morgan. If you guys don't know her, she is the cut master, cut doctor. She's a very, very highly sought-after cut man, cornerman for tons of fighters. She's been through tons of organizations. We're going to talk about the UFC on ESPN 12 and one of the brand-new Fight of the Year candidates, Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. If you didn't see it, go watch it because that was a crazy good fight. Very, very solid card, top to bottom. Had newcomers, veterans, everything in it. And we're going to talk a little bit about an Invicta Fighting Championship 40 that's coming up this Thursday. This is going to be a fun one because they're finally making their return after, you know, all this COVID stuff going on. With that, I'm going to introduce my co-host, Jason. How you doing?
What's cracking, brother?
Going good.
Same here. Yeah, it's going to be a fun show tonight.
Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about this interview we have?
We have a little history. The very first interview we had with Temri went freaking horrible. It went back asswards. Both you and I froze. I think the interview lasted 12 minutes. It was garbage. Then the second broadcast system we had on, we got her back on, and that was actually a very fun interview.
Yes.
So she's kind of warmed up to us a little bit, and hopefully she's not so direct and to the point because I didn't come up with a lot of questions, but hopefully we can fill the 20 minutes she has because she is going to be driving. She tattoos eyebrows now.
Okay.
She goes, it pays more money. I'm like, whatever pays
the
bill.
You should ask her if maybe she does, you know, hair on the head.
I don't have that problem.
It's happening soon.
No. No. You could ask my girlfriend that's sitting right here. I do not have a receding hairline, asshole.
So, Temri, explain what she does. And how she goes about it. Just explain a little bit so the listeners know what's involved in this.
So to be a cut doctor, not only is she in there to fix cuts and all that, she also, you know, takes the hands of the fighters. Now, I don't know how much they get involved with the doctor aspect on calling fights and this and that, and this is what we want to have her on for tonight, is to get that aspect from her. But no, I mean, they're just there to fix gouges above the eyes, stop a bloody nose. They tape the fighter's hands before the fight. And
that's,
I'm assuming they have,
job.
Well, yeah, I've seen some nasty cuts above boxes and MMA fighters' eyes and cheeks, and they stop the bleeding within seconds. Now, of course, they're always suspect if they're going to actually go back after that same wound and tear them open even worse. But, no, a cut doctor, it's a very important job in that corner.
Yeah. No, definitely. We're going to talk a little bit about the UFC on ESPN 12, the card that happened on Saturday. It was a crazy good card. Now, it was main evented by Dustin Poirier and Dan Hooker, but it had some very good fights. And as always, after a card like that, there's a lot of big fights to be made afterwards. One of the big ones coming up already is, Damn. I don't know what's going on there, Jason, but you're getting kind of noisy.
No, it's my girlfriend's dog. I threw the tennis ball and buried it behind the propane tank, and now she's getting pissed.
All right. So one of the big fights coming up after the UFC on ESPN 12 is Mike Perry won his fight against Mickey Gall. Do you know who he called out?
I have no idea.
He called out Nate Diaz.
You know, as much as I don't like Nate Diaz, I don't like what he stands for.
Uh-huh.
But as a fighter, I'll watch Nate Diaz on every fight he takes. I just don't like what Nate Diaz stands for as a person. And I'm not going to get into that over air because that it could be misconstrued in a lot of different ways, and I don't want us to be taken in any different direction. I'll just say this. I don't like the way Nate Diaz carries himself, if that makes any sense. But as a fighter, Nate Diaz is a very exciting fighter.
Yes.
Normally, I would say exactly what's on my mind, but with all this other stuff that's going on, I don't want anyone to take my words and twist them and call me anything that I'm not. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
No, I got you, but and I understand that. But as a fighter, what do you think of Nate Diaz?
No, Nate Diaz is exciting. The two fights he had with Conor McGregor, the last fight he had, which was what, about a year ago, right? 6 months to a year ago.
It's been a bit, yeah. He hasn't. He's and Nate Diaz isn't exactly busy at fighting right now.
I mean, who was the last guy he fought? Jorge Masvidal?
Yeah.
And he got destroyed.
Well, he got thumped for the three rounds and then they stopped the fight, but yeah. It was pretty one-sided. Yeah, he got knocked down a few times. Round one especially, he got beat up pretty bad in round one. After that, it was a little closer, but Masvidal really just picked him apart the whole time. You know, when was it? That was November, so that's been quite a few months.
Yeah, and I honestly thought they were going to make a fight with Conor McGregor and Jorge Masvidal. And I was telling all my MMA buddies, I'm like, Conor McGregor does not want no part of Jorge Masvidal. No, he does not.
No.
I mean, would I pay for that fight? Most definitely. Who wouldn't? But I don't think Conor McGregor's ready for a fight of that magnitude.
No, that's Conor absolutely Nate got destroyed by Jorge. And Conor had a hell of a time even getting that one win by decision. I think it would be a good fight because Conor's fast. And he's very precise and powerful, especially at 170. But Jorge is tough like Nate. He's very tough. He's very smart. I think that'd be a really fun fight.
Let me ask you this. Because they were actually talking about a fight like this, right?
Yeah.
This fight would end up being a bloodbath. But let's say Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson end up happening. Which I'm not saying it would never happen, you know, in the near future. It's just not going to happen right now. What do you think about a fight like that?
Oh, McGregor and Ferguson, that'd be a great fight. That would be a blast. I mean, I don't know who wouldn't want to see that fight, to be honest.
I would rather actually see that fight than, say, Khabib and whoever he's going to fight, or Conor and Khabib. I don't want to see Conor and Khabib again. That fight was actually real boring.
Yeah, a little bit. It was a little different. Let me see.
Actually, I want to see Connor go up against the guy. I want to see Connor and Justin Gaethje go at it.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun fight. That's, you know, that's a fight everybody kind of wants to see now.
But
we want to see if Gaethje's going to be able to handle Khabib.
Let's say Connor and Ferguson ends up happening.
Uh-huh.
Who would you take in that fight?
Connor versus Ferguson? I would probably go Ferguson.
You really think so?
Yeah, I think so. I don't Tony's just got he's got a lot more ways to win. You know?
But plus he's got a chin that I've never seen before.
Yeah, I
mean Justin Gaethje was coming after him with everything he had.
Yeah. And he took a hell of a beating. And that that was something
he took a hell of a beating. And that's when I was I watched the highlights of that fight, and I'm like, how is Tony even standing? Because Justin has power. Maybe not quite the power that Connor packs.
Justin does. Justin's got a ton of power.
But Tony has got a chin I've never – well, I don't know. I saw Nate Diaz after that second fight. Nate Diaz was – he was as bloody as a stuck pig.
Yeah.
And Connor was lucky to win that fight, honestly. I still think that to this day. Everyone said Connor dominated Diaz in that fight, and that's completely wrong.
Yeah. No, definitely.
But I still think Connor and Tony Ferguson would be a fun fight. That's the fight I want to see. I don't know if listeners want to think, but
no, it would be good. There's so many good fights out there, you know. Well, that's if Connor's not retired. His coach came out today and said, as far as he knows, he is retired.
Dude, I think that's a publicity stunt. Jorge Masvidal said he's retiring.
No, he's not retiring. He's waiting for the right money because he wants a little bit more money than what he's got.
Connor wants more money.
He deserves. Well
Connor wants more money.
John Jones has said he's prepared to hold out 2 years.
But what these fighters have to realize, all they're getting is the pay-per-view buys. They're not getting the fans in attendance. They're not getting that type of paycheck anymore. So they have to take what they can get.
Yeah.
So, I really don't know. I mean, what's your thought on that?
I understand these guys that have made their money sitting out. You know, they've been there, they've done that, and they want to take these big money fights. I totally get it. Masvidal is not going to win a title probably, but he wants to make as much money as he can, and he's putting his body on the line. They're out there doing that for fun, you know, and for not strictly for fun, but for our entertainment. So we're not the ones that have to suffer the long-term damage. They are. They need to make some money while they can. And I
completely understand that.
I mean, look what the UFC is doing. They built a fucking fight island to go out fights outside the United States. The UFC is making tons of money, and they're paying, like, Kay Hansen. She just came in, had a wonderful performance. She made $28,000. That's nothing compared to what the UFC is making. They're making so much money and paying the fighters so little. Just tell everybody how you like what you really think of this. Just tell us what you think of fighter pay and if it's equal or not.
Well, the fighter pay has never been equal. You take a fighter like Khabib to a fighter of Conor McGregor. Who is going to draw more? Of course, Conor McGregor is. Everyone wants to see a Conor McGregor fight, where no one really cares about Khabib. Even though Khabib is probably one of the best MMA fighters that I've ever seen. He's undefeated. And you don't see that in the MMA. But Conor can take one fight and make $15, $20 million in the UFC. But he did take that one fight with Floyd Mayweather, and I want to say he made in the range of $125 million. Am I not mistaken? I just think the UFC is actually kind of screwing their fighters off in a way. And that's why a lot of these guys are leaving. A lot of them say they're going to retire, but I would not be one bit surprised if they go over to Bellator, where Bellator is still paying their fighters. That's just my opinion. I might be wrong, but that's just what I think. But it's also a proven fact that Bellator is willing to pay good fighters good money. So, I just don't know what the UFC is going to do when these great fighters start dropping out like flies. I mean, it's great and all that they got this fight island up in Abu Dhabi. And how much Dana White had to pay for this. But, of course, that's coming out of the fighter's paycheck. Which, to me, that is wrong. But we all know that to be true. I would like someone else's opinion on this. So,
okay, sorry about that. I was back. Had to run outside for a minute.
Nice.
I totally missed what you said.
Kind of figured that. No, so what I was basically saying, so what were we talking about when you put me on hold?
I didn't put you on hold. I told you to speak. We were just talking about fighter pay and equality.
I think the UFC is fucked up. You got Dana White going out and buying an island. Now, I agree with it, but the fighters are paying for it. And what I mean by that, because all they have to go on right now is pay-per-view buys.
And that's only some of them. That's not very many of them.
But here's a question you asked me. Where are people going to buy the pay-per-views at? Conor McGregor steps in the ring. Everyone's going to pitch into that pay-per-view buy. Everyone wants to see Conor McGregor fight.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
No, very right.
Everyone wants to fight Conor McGregor because they know they're getting a hefty, hefty payday.
Yes, they are.
No one wants to fight Khabib. They don't really care about Khabib. Even though Khabib is probably one of the best fighters in the UFC right now. Well, not one of the best. He is the best fighter in the UFC right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But Conor McGregor is always going to draw that paycheck.
Conor is, mainly because of his mouth, unfortunately. There's a lot of guys in the UFC that can fight that good or that exciting. I mean, look at what Poirier and Hooker just put on, you know. There's a lot of exciting fights and fighters. It's just Conor brings it in with his mouth as well. And the UFC is going to market that any way they can.
Well, yeah, of course they're going to market that. But one thing I can actually say about Conor McGregor, he talks a lot of shit. He's probably one of the biggest shit talkers in the UFC. But 9 times out of 10, he gets in that octagon, he backs everything up he says.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I love about it. I mean, he calls out guys. I mean, it's actually kind of sad what he says. He starts talking about people's families. I mean,
he's
pretty ruthless.
Some guys, but yeah, he got he was pretty bad. Jason, I'm going to go outside for a minute. Just hold the show. Tell everybody about
Well, hold on,
because this is coming on really quick. So hold on one.
Well,
second,
hold on
okay?
one second.
I'll be right back.
No. Hey, Brian, you don't do this to me yet. I've got to do something. oh shit. I've got to hold up. I might even be able to do this right here. Okay, I just shared the link to Temri. Well, she just said, "What's the link to where other people go listen to the show?" I think she wants to share it.
Okay, so go ahead and just describe to everybody what she's doing, and I will be right back. I promise.
So our interview tonight is a gal by the name of Temri Morgan. She's a cut doctor. Not only for the for MMA, but for boxing as well. She just works the corner and does anything she can do for the fighters. So she should be on in about 5 to 7 minutes. It's going to be a great interview.
Okay. Totally sorry about that.
No worries.
Unexpected business. It always happens.
Well, yeah. You kind of caught me off guard on that one.
Well, I was in the process of actual work. I had to take care of that stuff while I could. So it was just a quick thing. I had to see a guy for 2 minutes, and you know how it is. Timing, dude. It's always timing.
Timing.
Like,
yeah, timing sucks.
We can do nothing. Yeah, we could do nothing all day, but as soon as we get on our show, I'm talking to you listeners out there. As soon as we get on the show, bam, something important happens, and we got, you know, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, just life. So, and of course, my dog's a really noisy while I'm on the show. You guys know that. That's how it works. So, now, or after the interview, I really do want to dive into this UFC on ESPN 12. The card was nuts. Pretty much all the cards they've had so far been nuts and really fun, you know. But also, super excited for Invicta to be coming back. You know how much I like Invicta. I know you've watched it, you enjoyed it. It's a good organization. This is their 40th show, so they're getting up there. You know, they're becoming a staple of Fight Pass, And we all know, I mean, they started on their own. So the Invicta organization started going off, I think it was like StreamMate or something. You could buy their show there. But now they're on the UFC Fight Pass every event. So it's pretty cool how big they're getting. Hopefully they get bigger and get up into the pay-per-view money. But we'll see. Now that one, just so you know, the Invictus show, I mean, the UFC, I don't know if everybody's seen Invicta, but the UFC has a certain way to do things, all right?
They go fast. They have a fast pace. They have a fight. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes for the next fight to start. They don't have 15, 20 minutes in between fights. So it's pretty cool there. And along with a faster pace, everybody knows the women really bring it. The women fighters really bring it. So you're seeing the women just going out there. They're trying. Basically, the Invicta fighters, a lot of them are trying to get into the UFC. So even though the Invicta is pretty much the top of the heap for women's fighting, the UFC is the next level. But for a strictly female organization to be doing that good, it's amazing to see. And
it's exciting to see it. I mean, you know, we've seen it from the beginning. That's the best part. Is like a lot of people, you know, they come into the UFC. The UFC has been around so long. A lot of people haven't seen it from the beginning. And it was exciting, you know, in the beginning it was different. And getting to watch it evolve. Every few years, it just keeps evolving. And we're seeing it with Invicta. It just keeps evolving. And it's really a good thing that they have a Phoenix as their side on Invicta. It's really true. They're constantly reborn. It's great. It's a great organization. I'm just saying, if you haven't seen it and you want to see good fights, I definitely recommend it.
But we are going to have Tim removing on in just a few minutes, and that's going to be really fun. That's going to be a fun interview. So, what do you think, Jason? After that, you want to hit Invicta first, or you want me to go over the UFC 12?
I'll have you go over the Invicta. I mean, I wish I could watch it. I just don't have no way to. So when you start talking Invicta fighters, I have really not a clue of what you're talking about. I just don't have any way to watch Invicta. But I've watched a lot of fighters that used to fight in Invicta, which are great fighters nowadays.
Yes.
And then we can go into the Poirier Hooker card, by which what I understood was a phenomenal card.
It was a blast, you know. And I'll tell you a funny story before Temri calls in. I was actually placing my first ever bet on the UFC. I was in the middle of putting $100 down on Jin Yufrey as the underdog. And Jin Yufrey, you know, was the Invicta atomweight champion going over. He was taking on Kay Hansen. They were both going in on very short notice. And I was thinking, well, Jin Yufrey, I've been watching her fight for a while. She's very good. Kay Hansen's younger, hasn't been around as much. I thought, there's no way Jin Yufrey's going to lose. So I was actually online placing a bet. My buddy called, interrupted me. It was work. So I got involved with that and totally forgot about my bet. So I didn't place the bet. And it was a good thing, too. First round went to Frey, and I was all happy. I'm like, man, I forgot about my bet. I should have fucking bet. And then, sure enough, fucking Kay Hansen comes back and wins the fight. So I'm really glad I didn't place the bet, but I would have. I definitely would have lost $100 there.
Yeah, but you know what? It would have been all good, though.
Yeah, I would. No, not really. I would have been pretty pissed.
Well, It's kind of like me dumping $100 in a horse race, which you've known me to do that many a times.
Yeah, I know it happens, and this is why I don't really like to bet. But I was pretty sure. Now the thing about that is, I really think that came down to those two fighters were given less than a week's notice that they had that fight coming up, and they both took it, which I applaud them for. So I think on a full fight camp, we would have seen a much different fight. I'm not saying Jin Yu Frey would have won for sure, but I think she would have won. I really, my gut says she probably would win that fight on a full fight camp.
I mean,
I don't usually want to bet that kind of money, but I would have thrown it down. And the cool
part
is,
you're talking fighting, dude. Anything can happen.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. But
we've seen some of the strangest things happen in fighting.
Okay.
And this even goes back to the
80s. Hold on now. This actually happened. Somebody put down a $37,000 bet on Kay Hansen just before the fight.
Wow. Where did that $37,000 pay off? That's what I want to know. $37,000. I want to know what that paid off. We need to do some research on that. So.
All right, Jason.
But,
We have got Temri Morgan on the line. So Temri is here, everybody. We're going to have a crazy good interview. Listen up. Jason, go ahead.
Temri, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a couple years.
I know. Time flies, right?
So were you able to watch that fight that I sent you?
I did. And, wow. When I watched it, I could see exactly what happened, when it happened, and I can see both sides of exactly what happened, in my opinion at least.
I mean, he got criticized by, of course, the media, and then Dana White was completely supporting him. Like, hey, he felt like he didn't want to go on. And his corner was like saying, no, you can get this in a decision. And he goes, no, I'm done. Where do you, being a girl that works in the corner, how do you take that? I mean, are you faulting the fighter or are you applauding the fighter just by, because he came in on a week's notice.
Yeah, that's the thing. He came in on 10 days notice. It was his debut. And here's the deal. His thing was a ground game, right? The first round, he was not, I heard this several, he was outmatched, outclassed, blah, blah, blah. You know, that first round, he was not outclassed in that. He wasn't getting his ass kicked in that first round. In the second round, his strong suit was a ground game. Evidently, I don't know much about him, but his strong suit was the ground game. And when he couldn't get him in his strong game, when he couldn't pull off that guillotine and the guy got out of it right away and stood up, when they got up, if you look at his face, his whole demeanor changed. He had, just like they said, that a look of defeat. And he did. He had that look of defeat. And so at that point, to me, he looked like he was mentally beat. When a fighter is mentally beat, it doesn't matter what his skill level is at that point. You know, that old saying that a fight is 90% won in the mind is 100% true.
I mean, yeah, but see, you get to see the deeper side of fighters outside of just, a guy like me that just watches it on, pay-per-view and whatnot. You get to see the background of all this stuff. You're right there in the corner.
Right. And with an experienced team, with us, we know how to read our fighters. We know when they're starting to get mentally beat, and we know what they're physically and mentally capable of. And like his coach, a lot of times we can pull them back from that. We know how to get their head back in the game. But in that instant, and that his coach was trying to do, but in that instant, he was too beat. He was done.
So,
in his mind.
Do you fault that fighter for basically quitting on the stool, or do you applaud that fighter for saying, no, I'm done?
It, with his experience level, I think he did the right thing. I think his coaches did the right thing. I don't – it's a tricky situation. If that fighter knows he can't go on any further, I mean, he couldn't even get out of the way of simple combination punches. He was basically standing there being a punching bag. Why take that kind of damage that early in the game of his career? There's no sense in taking a lot of head trauma damage when he's still in his infancy in the fight game. You know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean.
He has a long career ahead of him. There's no sense in doing that if he can't get out of the way of a simple combination punch to the head. You know, his mind wasn't in there. You know, and I understand what his coach was doing, trying to pull him back from that mental defeat and get him back in the game. We do that. We know our fighters. We know what we can pull them back from. Evidently, he couldn't get him back from that. And it is what it is. And I would have, you know, stopped too. If you can't get them to go on, they're mentally beat, don't keep them in harm's way like that.
So, do you blame the media for trashing the fighter for quitting?
Oh, look, come on now. We all know what the media does. The media,
well, I'm just asking a question. Because Dana,
yeah,
White was so totally behind the fighter. Like, say, hey, he knew he was completely defeated. We know he came,
yeah,
in on 14 days' notice. He didn't want to take no more damage, so he
yeah,
backed out of the fight himself.
Yeah, the media is kind of like your keyboard warriors, your armchair couch fighters. Same thing. Unless they're in there. Unless they're in there, they you know, are just going to spin it how they can. But if they trash a fighter, they know that they're going to get people coming back at them to chew on that, and so that's going to create more talk and more ruckus, which sells more media.
Right.
Just
so
like
my next
no
question.
Difference.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's coming from the media or if it's coming from a fighter. It's all trash talk.
Yeah.
So my next question to you is, so in between rounds,
mm-hmm,
and you have a fighter that's just cut up, When do you guys decide to throw in the towel, or is it not up to you, or is it up to a ringside doctor?
All the above. All the above. It depends on my position for that fight, because sometimes I work for the promotion as a cut woman for the whole promotion. A lot of times I'm privately hired by the fighter or the fight team itself. So it all depends. And a lot of times, you know, I work really close with the doctors because I have such an extensive medical background. The doctors, a lot of times they'll look at me and, like in a lot of these smaller promotions, a new doctor or whatever will look at me and I'll basically tell them when they need to go in. But with a team and stuff, we work together. We know our fighters. We know what we're looking for. We know when it's unsafe. And that's when we call a fight, is when it's no longer safe for the fighter. You know, we keep them in the game. You know, we keep them safely in the fight.
Now, does that go along for how much pull do you have in the concussion protocol? What do
how
you guys look for in that aspect?
Do they, do they listen to me? Is that what you mean? What kind of pool?
Well, I mean,
I can guarantee you, anybody that I work with, if I say he's in trouble, you need to stop the fight, I can pretty much guarantee you they'll stop the fight.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you looking for in that aspect? I mean, is it completely? I mean, is it all eyes? Is it attitude?
No.
I mean, what are you looking for?
There's a lot of little telltale things you can look for. The obvious, you know, unconscious. That's the first thing that is a major concussion. But little things. What I look for in the corner, like when we're in the corner with them, I look at their pupils. Sometimes, like, they'll have one that'll blow out more than the other. How they talk to you, you know, a lot of times, just their normal way they talk will change. When they're in the fight, you know, they're the way they listen to commands or respond to commands change. So that's like, you know, their behavior. When they answer questions, if you ask them questions, or if they move real clumsily and they're normally not, you know, when they just slight differences in the way they would normally respond or act in that same situation. Those are all little signs. When you're yelling combinations that normally are very crisp, they know them, they deliver them, and they can't seem to put those together, you know, they're like confused. That's a sign of a concussion.
So that's when you'll just say, no, you can't go anymore.
Yeah, we'll assess them in the corner, you know, in between rounds.
Or is there a doctor that just comes in? Do you guys call in a doctor that just says, no, this guy can't go anymore?
Yeah, a doctor will call a fight.
Oh, okay. You and I were talking earlier about your discipline that you've taken on. Explain a little bit about that.
It's a Jang and Sun. It's basically a combination of arts, you know, to fit an individual's abilities. It's a system that can adjust to like anybody's ability, and it's pretty cool. It's like the Korean version of Krav Maga, hand-to-hand combatives. You know, I've been doing it for 2 years, but I'm like, I can't do it every week. I go to Muskogee to Dragonfly Dojo. Hey, shout out. That's true. So it's taken me almost 2 years just to go from my white belt to a lot of feedback. White belt to my blue belt, but I did it, and it was 2 days of testing, and you saw the Kenju stick trials. That was pretty harsh.
I saw that on Instagram, and I'm like, I was just like, what are you doing? You're like taking sticks to the gut, and I'm like, ouch, no. And you said it, and you were explaining it to me like it was mind over matter, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's to basically, it's mind over matter. It's to be able to separate from pain and do what you got to do, because Jang and Sun is like survival skills. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's close-range fighting to save your life, basically. And so the Kendo trials is a Kendo stick, and I got hit with them to the ribs and then to the solar plex. And like I was telling you, the ones on the left side, it doesn't look like I got hit as hard there than the other ones, but actually that's the ones that actually cracked my ribs. But yeah, it's pretty harsh, but you do it.
No thanks. I don't do well with pain.
Most of them leave their gi top on, but I took my gi top off and did it with a tank top on.
All right, Kenry. Well, thank you for coming on short notice.
Oh, no problem.
And go have fun doing your tattoo and or your tattoo eyeliner. You said that's just paying the bills.
Yeah, I tattooed some eyeliner today and do all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, it tastes really good, actually. It's amazing that you can, like, save lives for a living and then make three times as much tattooing.
All right, Tammy, you have a good night, and we will talk to you soon.
Sure, no problem. Love to come back on again. You take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That was Tamri Morgan. Jason, that was pretty interesting what she was saying about the concussion protocol.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, she got really in depth in that, and I was like, whoa. I didn't think, yeah. But what a lot of people don't think about is how much time does boxing have between rounds?
The same as the UFC.
30 seconds?
No.
45 seconds?
60.
A minute? 50 seconds.
60.
So
damn.
They have 1 minute
seconds
to declare all this stuff. That's pretty amazing.
Well, to be fair, When I drove ambulance, you know I was an EMT. Checking concussions. I think I told you a couple weeks ago. I had a friend that hit their head on the car pretty hard. They got a pretty good hematoma. And I gave him a few minutes, and then I checked with my phone because this was night. I checked the pupils. That was the first thing I checked to see if they were – one was dilated or whatnot. One, they had to be both the same. Because if one pupil's crazy, that's a for sure telltale sign of a concussion. There are other ones, but that's a telltale sign. And like Tamri said, the way they act, their coordination, you have to pay attention to all of that. All that stuff matters when you're checking for a concussion. And for the normal person like you or I, if we get a concussion, it's not that huge a deal because we're not going to still get hit in the head 25, 30 times after that. It's usually just one solid
right
bump. And can get it fixed and rest. These fighters, if they get a concussion, they're concussed early. That puts them at risk the whole rest of the fight for way more damage.
Well, that not only for the rest of that fight, that puts them at risk for the rest of their life.
Yes, because you don't know how long those effects are going to last. We've had fighters and heard fighters saying they've there was a guy on the Ultimate Fighter, and I don't remember his name. He was a huge prospect, and he came out and got a concussion. It was a big thing because it was supposedly from T.J. Dillashaw, and because T.J. would go too hard in practice on these guys. And the guy got concussed, and he's never fought again. I believe his name was Chris. It's Chris something or other, and I can't remember his last name. But very, very interesting, and very sad the fact that he could never fight again.
Now that I remember actually listening to an interview with Steve Young way back in the day. And they were playing the Dallas Cowboys. He says he remembers everything up to the third snap of that game. And he does not remember anything after 4 days after that game. The Niners won the game. But shortly thereafter, Steve Young retired. He got hit so hard, he lost 3 or 4 days after the game he played.
Yeah.
Concussions
you know
are nothing.
Right. You know what's funny about that? I don't know. Like, have you ever had a concussion?
I've had one.
I would say it's recent because you told that same story last week. And I don't think you remember it.
I do remember it. Asshole.
I just, As soon as you start telling the story, I'm oh shit, he's telling the same story.
The only reason I'm telling the same story is we were going over concussion.
I know. Steve Young was crazy. I can't believe how many he had. But we could go over quarterbacks too. Like Troy Aikman, same thing. You know,
Troy Aikman.
Yeah, he had a lot of concussions. You know, some guys are more prone to concussions, obviously, than others. But Steve Young was out there. I mean, he was basically a throwing running back. For any of the listeners, if any listeners want to call in with any stories like that, concussion stories, if you know of any, you want to talk to us, the call-in number for our show is 718-664-9735. So if you want to call in, go ahead. We're going to talk a little bit about Invicta, the Invicta 40 card coming up this weekend. It's going to be a fun card. It's actually Thursday. They usually have them on Fridays. So I don't know exactly why it switched to Thursday, but it is. And I assume there's going to be no audience, nobody in the arena except for, you know, essential personnel, cameramen and whatnot. So the main event is Emily Ducati versus Juliana Lima. That's your main event, followed by Lindsey Van Zandt, no relation to Paige, versus Alicia Zapatella. That's going to be a great fight. Alicia's pretty big. You know, she's on a pretty good roll right now. Then we got Deanna Bennett versus Victoria Leonardo. Chelsea Chandler versus Liv Parker coming up. Lauren Anderson versus Claire Guthrie. Now, these are newcomers, this last couple of fights. Gina Gooden versus Shelby Corrin. So the thing I like about Invicta is you're going to get the veterans on the card. There's a lot of ladies with 10, 15, almost 20 fights. And in the beginning, you're going to see a lot of the newcomers, the women that are transitioning from amateur to professional MMA. So a lot of these ladies, you know, it kind of depends on your coach and how each fighter feels. Some fighters want to get 10 fights in, amateur fighters. Some fighters want to go a little longer. Some want to go a little shorter. You know, some fighters I'll tell you what, Jason, you want to know about a real famous fighter?
Yeah.
Okay. You might have heard of this lady, Jason. Her nickname was Rowdy. Do you know who this is?
Rowdy. You know, you might laugh at me because this is going to come off probably completely wrong the way you look. Misha Tate?
No, that would be Cupcake. But Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
So, you were not even in the ballpark, but that's okay. That's okay. So, you know Ronda Rousey. You saw most of her career. Now,
yes, I did.
Ronda Rousey only had 3 amateur fights. And she jumped right into the pro ranks. And what's funny about Ronda is she won those 3 fights. She finished all 3 of those. Then she finished her next 12 pro fights. Finished. Every single fight she won, she finished. Every fight she lost, she was finished. Isn't that crazy?
No, it's not.
Ronda never even saw a 4th round. Never. The longest she ever fought was with Misha Tate, coincidentally, and she went 3 rounds with her.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Yeah?
It does not surprise me, one bit.
It was, you know, a lot of people don't give her the respect she deserves, I don't think. As I was telling you the story about Kay Hansen, that I almost lost $100 story. Kay Hansen, they said it probably, you know how they talk about each fighter in the lead up to the fights, right? So
right.
They told this story about how Kay Hansen was influenced by Ronda Rousey when she was young. Kay Hansen is only 20 years old, so she's fairly young.
Right.
She's the second youngest fighter in the UFC. And they probably told that story, I'm going to guess, probably about 75 times before the fight. You know how when the UFC grabs a hold of something and they overdo it? They kept talking about it. I'm not kidding. They probably said it 5-6 times before and during the fight, how she was influenced by Ronda Rousey, probably more than that. And it was like, come on, guys. I know Bisping's not the brightest flower out there, but you got to have something better than that. So, whatever. You know, we could talk about how bad Michael Bisping is all night. I know you can. We'll leave that for some other night.
Well, or how much you can, how much bad talk you can give Daniel Cormier.
I just fucking did that today on Twitter. I fucking ripped into it. Somebody asked, name one fighter that you hated that you now like. And I said, nope, I still fucking hate this guy.
Dude, oh, man. I was sitting at Matt's house. It was, I had to go down there on Saturday afternoon, and we're sitting there watching ESPN, and guess who comes on? Michael Bisping. And Matt goes, "Why do you hate this guy so much?" I'm like, "He's a pompous fucking jerk. He wasn't that great of a fighter. And he thinks his shit don't stink."
Okay, I missed some of that, Jason. What happened?
So I was sitting at Matt's house, and we're sitting here watching ESPN, and Michael Bisping comes on. And Matt goes, "Why do you hate this guy?" I'm like, "He's a pompous ass. And he's not that great of a fighter."
Well,
was.
And he won it with one eye. He literally won it with a glass eye.
I just don't like. I don't like the way the guy talks. I don't like the way the guy looks.
Yes.
I honestly just wish the guy would just fall off the face of the earth. About the way you feel about Daniel Cormier.
Well, what you're saying is, you wouldn't date this guy?
No, I would not date this guy. You fucking asshole.
I'm just wondering.
You about made me spit out my drink.
I was just wondering why.
You're a dick.
Looks have nothing to do with it.
No.
Give me just a minute, Jason. Go ahead and tell everybody why you hate Michael Bisping. We got a caller. Give me just a minute, okay?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, they're going to call me out on this. Shit. I'm not even going to say a fucking word. I want to mute this. I'm like, fuck. No, I want to mute it. He's running the green board. That's how he knew Tim Reid was calling in. This is bad. I don't know what to say.
Bad? Why is bad?
Because this is quiet. You don't want quiet on a radio show.
All right. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear a word.
Oh, son of a bitch. I hit the wrong button. Oops.
Yeah, you...
Okay.
Dude, you muted me from the show. I didn't hear a word.
Well, that's okay. Did you talk about your attraction or unattraction to Michael Bisping again, or did I miss it?
You know what? Since you muted me from the show,
all I would say is Daniel Cormier.
No, I was talking about your infatuation with Daniel Cormier, and I guess
didn't
bother you.
I hate the guy with a passion, but I don't recall ever in the last 4 or 5 years mentioning to anybody that I hate the way he looks. So that just kind of. You know, it's okay. I mean, you don't have to be embarrassed about it, Jason. I mean, you're okay to talk about that. We're an open-minded show. We're, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
You're a dick.
Well, we're progressive in that respect, you know.
So what did our caller have to say?
They were talking about a concussion and concussion protocols and what it was like to have a concussion. She said that she actually had one when she was younger, and she vomited when she had it. And that's definitely a sign of a concussion. And, you know, back in the old days when we got concussions, you know how people were, they would self-diagnose it or whatnot and just not let you sleep very much.
Right.
Because
they don't want you to sleep during a concussion.
No. No. It's the swelling in the brain, and the brain moving around is bad. So they are dangerous.
I remember.
People don't understand how dangerous they are.
I remember I was playing softball, men's slow pitch. Do you remember Maurice, the guy that used to live with us, Jeff's best friend back in the day?
Yes.
So he was playing shortstop, and I was playing center field. And there was a ball that was kind of hit out in no man's land. I wasn't calling it. He wasn't calling it. We were both racing for it. And he went into a slide because I called him off the last minute. As soon as he went into a slide, my knee hit his temple. And he went into convulsions.
Mm-hmm.
Started throwing up. I saw him at my dad's funeral. And he goes, to that day, he still feels the effect of that brain damage. I feel bad. I mean, it was nothing I did on purpose.
No, definitely
not. But I was running at him at full force and just caught him with my knee in the side of the head. I'm like, shit.
That would be scary.
No, it is scary. Concussions are nothing to be fucked with.
No, not at all.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, I mean, you played football, and I'm pretty sure you had a few
football.
Of them.
I played football, I boxed, you know, among other things, contact sport-wise. And the worst one I ever had was, man, this was a long time ago, 93, I believe. I was on the kickoff team because we had a small high school. I went to a very small high school. We had, man, I don't even think we had 20 guys on our football team. And, you know, everybody had to do a little bit of everything. And I was on the kickoff team, and I was running down there. We kicked the ball off. And there was a guy, there's always a guy running at you, you know how football is. So we both put our head down, and it was just bad timing for both of us because we both hit, and both of us fell down. And I remember, like, shaking my head and thinking, this took a while, too. I didn't really catch on to it. I felt, my head felt way too big for my helmet the whole rest of the game. I thought something had happened to my helmet. And my helmet couldn't fit. It just didn't fit on my head good the whole time I was there. And I remember everything, though. But so it wasn't a bad concussion, but I definitely had a concussion.
I've never had to deal with it. I mean, well, I did get my ass kicked when I was about 22. Got my eye socket broken.
I mean, yeah, these things happen. People get concussions, and it just depends how you handle them, how they're treated, especially how they're treated. That is important for people to treat them, you know, doctors and whatnot. But, you know, it's going to happen, especially in a contact sport. It's just the way it is. That's part of life, and even life. You know how it is when we were kids. We didn't wear helmets when we rode our bikes or motorcycles. We just fucking did it. And you fall down, you fall down, your head bounced off the concrete, you know, most of the time. It's just how it was. So, you know, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? You know, we didn't. Again, it's just how it was. So, we're going to move on to the UFC, the UFC 12 that they just had on Saturday. The main event, a lot of people are saying this is probably going to be a fight of the year contender, and I can understand why. If you didn't see it and you want to see a good fight, these guys went at it for five rounds. They absolutely went at it. It was a very fun fight. It was very competitive. The scorecards were actually very close, 48-47, 48-47. You had one 48-46, but it was a close fight. It was a good fight. Poirier versus Hooker. And, you know, Dustin won the fight, but it was just so close and such a, these guys were so bloody, Jason. Such a good fight. I really thought Hooker was going to get the better of it after a little bit. I thought maybe Dustin was going to tire out. It kind of looked like that. These guys were the one thing Michael Bisping, I'll say for him, he got this dead on. They were going, the back and forth was crazy because one guy literally would take over and then all of a sudden the other guy took over. It was weird. We've seen back and forth battles, but not for five straight rounds where one guy was winning the fight and then all of a sudden the other guy was winning the fight. And it just kept happening. It just kept fucking happening. It was amazing.
Really?
You got to watch these fights, man. This is, you're missing out on some of the best fights they've had in a long time.
No, I was with Janelle Saturday night, and I could not watch the fight.
Yeah, that was an amazing fight. We got Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall. Mike Perry won.
Well, no, you were texting me. Matt was texting me. He goes, dude, this whole card is fucking amazing. And I'm like, fuck. I wish I could watch it.
Yeah, it was worth it. It really was. This one I'm talking about, Mike Perry versus Mickey Gall. Now, Mike, he's come back. After his last fight, he decided to leave his camp, and he was going to be trained by his girlfriend, and only his girlfriend. So she trained him for this fight. And he came out, and he won a decision, and he beat Mickey Gall. So, you know, it worked. Maurice Green, he beat Jan Vellante with an arm triangle. Round three, though. But that was a fun fight. Brendan Allen, he beat Kyle, I can't pronounce his last name, Dawkus, and I forgot. I know they said it, but I kind of forgot it. Takashi Soto, he got a TKO over Jason Witt. Julian Arosa beat Sean Woodson by a Darce choke, and we don't see those very often. Those are badass. I mean, it's really fun when you see these chokes, you know. Personally, I love the submission grappling. If you ever do get UFC Fight Pass or any of you get Fight Pass, they do put a lot of submission grappling on there, and they're a blast to watch that stuff. Submission Underground, all that good stuff. Kama Worthley defeated Luis Pena. That was a guillotine choke. That was pretty cool. Tanner Bosser defeated Felipe Lins. That was an actual knockout. Then you got Kay Hansen. I already talked about Kay Hansen beating Jenny Frey. She beat her by an armbar pretty quick in the round three. That was, and it was cool because she got hit by an elbow.
Wait a minute.
Right? What?
But didn't you lose $100 on that fight?
No, did you actually listen to the story or were you not listening? Because I explained very clearly. I was about to bet. I was actually in the process of placing the bet when my buddy called and sidetracked me, so I didn't get to place the bet. But I would have lost.
You would have lost $100.
I would have. But, like I'm saying, I really do believe that if they fought not on a week's notice, I think Jenny Frey takes that 9 times out of 10. I really do. You know, everybody knows how it is. When these fighters come in that short of notice, it's tough. I mean, they're more worried about their weight cut than they are about training because, especially Jenny Frey, she's pretty big. Even though the UFC doesn't have an atom weight division, they do get to come in about 10 pounds heavier. it's still a thing, you know, weight cut. And that fight, I was fairly certain, to be honest, that Jin Yufrey was going to win that fight, that I would have put $100 on it.
You know what?
So,
I wish you would have put $100 on that fight. That would have been funny to watch you lose.
Well, I would have understood. I mean, I think with it being short notice, I would have had good odds because I would have won $70 every 100 I put down. Somebody, like I said, somebody put down $37,000 on Kay Hansen, and he only won $20,000, but I mean he still won $20,000, so that's a pretty good day. You know, that's a pretty.
So
good
he
day
put down $37,000, but he only won $20,000.
Because she was the favorite.
Well, I know, but he won nothing.
Well, he won $20,000. He didn't lose his 37. You get your 37.
That's just I'm just saying it's just not a bet I would ever take.
No, it's hard to bet on the. I mean, if you know, like he obviously was pretty sure, so that was awesome for him. I'm glad he won. But if you're that confident that this person's going to win, even the favorite, like, say, this last fight, Cyborg versus Felicia Spencer, not Cyborg, I'm sorry, Amanda Nunes versus Felicia Spencer. Okay, if you're certain that Amanda Nunes is going to win, for every $100 you bet, you're going to profit maybe 15. You're not going to profit that much, but you will profit. So if you want to put down a massive bet on Nunez, you'll still make a good amount of money. So if you got 40,
I don't see how that's happening, honestly.
What's that?
I don't see that how that happens. If you're gonna put down on a very favored fighter, how are you gonna make a big substantial amount of money?
Well, depending on how big a favorite they are, is how much you'll win, but. If you put down $40,000 on Amanda and you're only making $15 per 100, you know, it's not a ton. Still going to make it. You know what I mean? You're still going to make some money.
Well, it's kind of like, when I used to go to the horse races.
$15,000. But think about that. If
it's
kind of
like when I used to go to the horse races.
Mm-hmm. It's like that. But if you got $40,000 to throw around, and you know that you can make $6,000-$7,000 off that $40,000 for doing nothing, that's not bad. You're still making good money because you're not doing anything. You're making $6,000 off nothing. That's not a bad day's work.
No, not really.
No, but that's the thing. That's the whole thing about betting. It's a big risk when you bet on the favorite. It's a big risk because you have to bet a lot more money to win that.
No, that exactly. So I used to bet the ponies all the time. And the Sonoma County favorite was Russell Bays. He was only getting on the horses that were 1-2. I would never I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. Cause if you're gonna bet him, you will not win much.
I gotcha. Yeah, that's
kind of like Amanda.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to bet on her, you know she's going to win, but you're not going to win a ton, but you're still going to win.
So.
And that's, you know, not always a bad thing. It just depends on how much you want to bet to make some money, you know. So beyond that, there's really not a ton of MMA news this week. You know, we've been talking about it. It's kind of a slow week. There's been some good fights signed. Michelle Waterson versus Angela Hill got signed. That's a fun fight. You know, both those fighters are coming up. We all know Michelle Waterson. She's been around for a while, fought for the title. Angela Hill is an Invicta champion. She's a very, very solid fighter. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun stand-up fight because both these ladies are good. I think, to be honest, I think Hill's got the advantage standing, And Michelle's probably going to need to take this one to the ground if she has a chance to win. Do you remember Gina Carano, Jason?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So Gina Carano of Strikeforce fame, she was actually about to fight Ronda Rousey. The UFC was going to pay her a shit ton of money to fight Ronda Rousey, but they wanted her to do it in a very, very short time frame, so that kind of sucked. She was in Fast and the Furious. She transitioned into acting. She's very recently in The Mandalorian, if anybody watches that, which actually in The Mandalorian was very, very highly rated. There's a lot of people to watch that. Great show. She actually posted a picture on Instagram the other day where she was naked and talking about how freedom, you know, freedom this or that, something Prince said. And you know how Instagram is. They don't like, you don't get too racy on Instagram. And
nope.
Even Henzo Gracie came out talking that bad about it, how women shouldn't pose naked. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with that guy, but whatever. It was kind of stupid because Instagram took her photo down, which was expected. I mean, it's a naked photo. You can't really put that on Instagram. She has Twitter or whatever else she wants to post it, but she wanted to do it on Instagram. Now she's making a big fuss about how it got taken down and they're infringing on her freedom. Now, everybody that goes on Instagram knows you can't do that. So how exactly do you see someone getting so upset about that?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't get that.
No, I'm kind of baffled how she gets so. I don't understand the outrage. I mean, if you want to post it, great. Post it on Twitter. You know Instagram's got to pull it. I understand the sentiment. She wants to be free, likes her freedom. I get it. I totally do. But you know Instagram is going to censor it.
Well, Instagram or Facebook or anything like that's going to censor anything.
Yeah. So, with that, we basically, there's a couple of fights coming up. You got the LFA, you know, besides Invicta. And then on July 11th, so basically we're 11 days away from the big UFC 251 card. Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns. You got Volkanovski versus Holloway. And Yan versus Aldo, which I find that one kind of weird. Yan versus Aldo. Aldo, you know, he just lost. Aldo has lost two in a row, but he's getting a title shot. What do you think about that?
He's going to get beat in this title shot.
Yeah, but you look, how does a fighter go from losing two fights in a row to getting a title shot?
That's,
how do they not,
dude,
give it to the fighter that beat him?
That's UFC. That's Dana White. It makes no sense. It's all politics.
Yeah. I don't care.
No politics.
Yeah. So that's going to be a crazy good card. That card in general is amazing. We had talked about that's got Rose versus Jessica Andrade, Amanda Ribas versus Paige VanZant, the one you're looking forward to.
Rose, that fight is going to be amazing.
Yes,
and
I'm
going
really
to call an upset. I'm going
to
call an upset in that.
Yeah,
and Andrade will beat Rose. Andrade will beat Rose.
You think so?
In a decision.
In a decision?
Yep.
You think Jessica can beat Rose?
That's what I'm calling.
Okay.
A major, major upset.
You think Rose is going to be the favorite in that fight?
I think so.
Even though they've already fought before?
Yeah.
And Rose lost?
By even knockout? Though Rose lost. Yeah, but Rose was already a what? At before this, she was what? A 2 or 3 time champion?
No, she didn't. That was her first title defense.
Oh.
I mean, well, she actually, technically, she defended it against Johanna because she beat her, but then they had to give her the rematch. So she defended it once, but then she went and took on Jessica after that.
Well, it's still going to be a hell of a fight.
But it has been. It's been 14 months since she's fought Rose. She hasn't fought in 14 months. That's quite a long time to be out. With a knockout and everything that's going on, it's going to be tough.
Right.
I don't think it's an upset, though. I don't think Jessica is the underdog in that fight. So usually when somebody wins, knocks somebody out, they don't come into the second fight as an underdog. I don't see it.
Rose is just too strong.
Rose is good. Rose is technical. Her striking was, she was out-striking Jessica in that fight. But Jessica is actually the strong one. Jessica just manhandled her and slammed her down. But she has to get in past that striking. Rose is so technical, and we've talked about Rose. She's actually thrown up flying arm bars in a fight, which is unheard of. I mean, hardly anybody does that. Vinny Magalhães,
right?
He's really good at it, but not too many people are that technical to do it in a fight. So I would never count Rose out, personally. I would never, ever count that lady out.
Well, you can never count her out.
No, I would definitely bet against you on that one. I would say Rose takes it.
Nope. I say Rose gets beat.
I like Jessica, though. I don't like picking against Jessica because she is a beast. She is strong and fast and just, she just tears after people. I really like Jessica. I like her attitude. I like her fight style. I don't think she's going to beat Rose, but I like both these ladies. I really think that's going to be a hell of a fight. I don't think you can go wrong watching that one fight. That, you know.
Hey, Brian,
so,
I'm going to bet you in this fight.
Okay.
I'm going to bet you.
Oh. Yeah.
A dinner of your choice.
Okay. We're going to get on a dinner rant. I'm going to have to throw one of my favorite restaurants under the bus. Because I am still mad about this. I went out to dinner at a very, very good restaurant a while ago, a couple of weeks ago. And I'm not actually going to throw them under the bus. I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you and I'll tell my listeners, I ordered a medium steak. If anybody knows what a medium steak is, it has to be red in the middle. It has to. You can't get a medium steak that has no red.
Well, no. Well, not, hey, well, Brian, a rare steak is a pink middle. A medium is a hot pink center.
Yeah.
So what did you get?
I got a well-done steak.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, not only did I get a well-done steak, when they served everybody, okay? It took us 10 minutes to get the waitress to come over so I could tell her I got a well-done steak. 10 minutes before she came back. And we had to yell.
That's funny.
Oh, we had to get a waiter to get the waitress to come back. She never even checked on the table. Okay? This is a high-end restaurant. So I showed her my steak. I said, hey, this is well done. I ordered medium. She said, yes, I see. I'll get you another ribeye steak. So 25 minutes later, Jason, 25 minutes later, he comes to the table. Everybody's done eating. Well, she comes there with my steak. She says, here's your medium steak, ribeye steak. And I'm just looking at it. I'm all, you know what? Ma'am, come here. I said, this is not a ribeye. This is a New York steak. This is a steak. Oh, no, no. She says, no, no. The cook told me it's a ribeye. I said, ma'am, there's no fat on the end. It's a solid, straight steak. It's not round. This is a ribeye. I'm sorry. This is a New York strip. It might even be a sirloin. Fuck, I don't know. This is not a ribeye. So I was fairly disappointed. So I'm just saying we are not going to any restaurants that are not in Lake County. Okay?
Wow. That's
yeah.
Fucked up.
It was, you know what? If anybody out there has had an experience like that, call in and tell us about it this week or next week. Because I know we've all been in the restaurants. We've all had bad experiences. And I felt bad, and I didn't want to get upset because it's like it was a busy day, you know, and it happens. Everybody makes mistakes. But you would think a cook would know the difference between a ribeye and a New York steak and not try and sell you that they just gave you a ribeye, you know?
That's funny.
So, yeah, luckily they didn't make me pay for it. They, you know, they understood what they did. But I did leave, you know, when you've been in a restaurant for like 2 hours and you haven't eaten anything, you get a little grumpy.
Right. Kind of about
yeah.
The way I am now.
Yeah, exactly. So on that note, everybody, we will be back next Tuesday. I really believe we're going to have another interview. I'm not going to tell you now, but I'm going to be probably interviewing two fighters. They're both fighters. They are married. And it's going to be a really cool, a really fun interview. It's exciting. I really want to bring these two on. They're anxious to come on the show. And it's just going to be a fun, interesting interview because the husband's involved in a little bit of everything. And I really can't wait to get these two on. We're going to talk about that. We're definitely going to hit up Invicta Fighting Championships 40. We're going to see if we can get any of the winners or losers from that card onto the show. Hopefully Shannon Knapp will want to come on pretty soon. And beyond that, we're just going to have a good show. So for Jason and our show, the Standing Eight Count, I want to say thank you, and we will see you next week.